From the rail to your radio, this is the Horse Racing Radio Network.
Gunrunner reaching for the wire. Collect is alongside. And then comes West Coast and War Story. But Gunrunner's on top of the world. He wins the Breeders' Cup Classic.
Arrogate is getting going late now. Collected is in front. Arrogate closing on the outside. It's a Bob Baffert 1-2, but Collected going to win it. Collected and Martin Garcia won the Pacific Classic.
Originating from our Jimmy Johns of Lexington studios, welcome to the Equine Forum.
But Arrogate swoops up on the outside. America's King Croesus of horse racing went to the front. 200 meters left to go. Arrogate has drawn away from Gunrunner.
Always Dreaming with a 2.5 length lead of 16th to go. Looking at Lee is second. Then comes Battle of Midway, Classic Empire. They're coming to the line, and the dream comes true. Always Dreaming has won the Kentucky Derby.
Now, here's Mike Pena.
Hello again, everyone. Good morning, and welcome to the Equine Forum on the Horse Racing Radio Network. Mike Pena, Baron of the Backstretch, coming to you from our Jimmy Johns of Lexington broadcast studios right here in the heart of the Bluegrass. Happy to have you with me on this Saturday morning. Now just 77 days, 9 hours, 32 minutes, and 33 seconds away from the Run for the Roses, Saturday, May 5th. At Churchill Downs, of course, we will be there as your official radio home of the Kentucky Derby and the Triple Crown in partnership with our friends at NBC Sports and Wood Westwood One. There are a few Derby prep races on the docket this weekend. You have the El Camino Real at Golden Gate, which is going to award the winner 10 points. And then we're going to see our first 50 points race of the Derby season. Basically a win and you're in. That's the Grade 2 Risen Star Stakes at the Fairgrounds. 50 points to the winner. So yeah, you win that race later today and you're virtually guaranteed a spot in the starting gate beneath the Twin Spires. Hall of Famer Jerry Hollendorfer has the morning line favorite in both of those Derby preps. He has Choo Choo in the El Camino Real and probably the more highly regarded Instilled Regard, no pun intended, going in the Risen Star. And who's hotter than Jerry Hollendorfer right now? Last weekend, he sends out Cantaka to an 11-1 upset of the San Vicente Stakes at Santa Anita. Comes back with Unique Bella in the Grade 2 Santa Maria. Pretty good day for Jerry Hollendorfer, and he could have another massive weekend on his hands if he can pull it off with the morning line favorites later today. Tomorrow, we'll see a Japanese, basically a win and you're in. Not quite, 30 points to the winner in that Derby prep. It's the Hyacinth. Churchill doing everything they can to generate international participation in the Kentucky Derby, and this is one way to do it. The Hyacinth, 30 points to the winner. So you win that one, you got a pretty good chance of making your way to Churchill Downs and making the field of 20. On Monday, it's the Grade 3 Southwest Stakes at Oaklawn, and that's a 10-point race, the winner getting 10 points. It's the 3-year-old debut of Sporting Chance from the barn of Dwayne Lucas. We haven't seen Sporting Chance since his victory in the Hopeful at Saratoga last September, and this is a highly anticipated debut. He is a really, really good horse. We'll see how he comes along and how he has developed from 2 to 3, overcoming those issues. And how about that story? Dwayne Lucas, hoping to get his first win in the Southwest since he pulled it off with Big Sur in 1992. And at 82 years young, the coach, Dwayne Lucas, in search of a 5th Kentucky Derby victory this year. How cool is that? It would be his first win in the Derby since Charismatic in 1999. He also has Bravazo and Kentucky Club going in today's Risen Star at the Fairgrounds. So Wayne Lucas back in the picture, right where he likes to be. And if you talk to him, he is enthusiastic about this sport today as he was back in his runs through the 1980s and the 1990s when he was saddling all of those top horses. He hasn't lost 1 ounce of enthusiasm, 1 ounce of energy And that's what I love about Dwayne Lucas, one of my favorite people to talk with, and all the best to the coach as he makes his way down that road to Churchill Downs in the first Saturday in May. Going to be a very busy program for you today. We have several special guests coming up, including Jeff Bloom, our HRN colleague and the man behind Bloom Racing. He's got some action this weekend. He has Snapper Sinclair, his promising three-year-old, racing in the Risen Star at the fairgrounds. And then he has Sky Diamonds tomorrow in the Grade 3 Las Flores at Santa Anita. Sky Diamonds recently crowned champion Calbred older female of 2017 this past week. That's a special honor. And what a great story she is. A former claimer, claimed for $40,000. She was entered to be sold at auction after the Breeders' Cup this year. And when she didn't win the Breeders' Cup, they said, you know what? We're going to take her out of the auction, and we're just going to race her in 2018. So we're going to talk to Jeff Bloom coming up after our first commercial break, right around 8:15 Eastern time. Stay tuned for that. That should be a lot of fun. Jeff Lifson is going to be with us as well from West Point Thoroughbreds. He'll be with us at 9 o'clock Eastern time. What a weekend they had last Saturday and Sunday, sending out Kantaka to upset the Grade 2 San Vicente Stakes. And then coming back on Sunday with the 7-year-old veteran Ring Weekend, who scored a high-level allowance win at Gulfstream Park. His first win since November of 2016. Special moment for the folks at West Point. And if I'm not mistaken, and we'll ask Jeff this question, I believe I read that that is the 100th stakes victory. Kantaka's victory was the 100th overall stakes victory for West Point Thoroughbreds. What an accomplishment. Well done, Terry Finley, Jeff Lifson, the entire team. And we'll talk to Jeff again, 9 o'clock Eastern time. Sandwiched in between Jeff and Jeff, we're going to have Eric Hamelback, the CEO of the National HBPA. He'll be with me at 8:35 Eastern. He'll be in studio to tell us all about the topics that are going to be discussed at the upcoming HBPA convention, March 13th to the 17th. In New Orleans, and that promises to be special. Several outstanding topics that are pertinent to the industry, the business side of things, going to be discussed with several speakers as well. So Eric will tell you all about that at 8:35. And then Mike Nyman, Director of Marketing at Gulfstream, will stop by for his weekly visit right around 9:25 or so. We'll have a chance to visit with Mike. We'll talk to him about Starter Stakes Day, 11 of 12 races this afternoon are stakes races, with purses totaling $680,000. So going to be a lot of fun to visit with Mike. And don't forget, you'll hear coverage of those Saturdays at Gulfstream Stakes, part of our broadcast series this afternoon, 5 o'clock Eastern on the network. You can visit our website, horseracingradio.net, to listen worldwide, and of course to see all of the SiriusXM channel information to find out where you can hear that coverage. 5 o'clock Eastern time, Anthony Stabile and Mike Beer will take you through the broadcast later this afternoon. All right, our poll question of the morning, here it is. We just posted a picture along with this poll question. It is the Kentucky Derby future wager odds as of the closing this past week. It was pool number 2 of the Churchill Derby futures. And as of the closing, the field is your 5-2 favorite. Not really surprising. It always seems like the field is the one that most people gravitate toward. So 5-2. In pool number 2 of the future wager, what we want to know, and this is the poll question, you can vote at HRRN on Twitter or Horse Racing Radio Network on Facebook. Who is your Kentucky Derby value play? When you look at that list, obviously the field is not a value play, but when you look at that list, which of those horses jumps off the page at this point, sitting here on February 17th, as your Kentucky Derby value play? You can do it at HRN on Twitter, Horse Racing Radio Network on Facebook. That's our poll question. Head over there and vote now. Going to get to our first commercial break, and when I come back, it will be our good friend Jeff Bloom to tell you all about a huge weekend for Bloom Racing. We'll kick it off with him next on the Equine Forum on the Horse Racing Radio Network.
Brody's Cause.
a Grade 1 winner at 2 and 3.
Brody's Cause and Corey Lannery, a tremendous run from deep in the pack to pull the upset in the Claiborne Breeders' Futurity.
His final running time of 143.27 in the Breeders' Futurity was the fastest running on dirt since 2000, while defeating Grade 1 winner Exaggerator by Sire of Sires Giants Causeway and bred just like worldwide leading sire Shamardal. Brody's Cause, standing at Spendthrift.
Learn the business of horses in the world's only accredited equine business program, the University of Louisville Equine Business Program. The University of Louisville has a legacy of excellence for more than 25 years of equine business education. Classes are taught by industry experts in state-of-the-art facilities located in the heartland of America's equine industry. The University of Louisville Equine Business Program. When it comes to horses, we mean business. For more information, visit business.louisville.edu/equine.
Have you been looking for high-quality, consistent, and palatable hay, along with a company that offers personal service and attention? Well, your search is over. Washington Hay Company has been feeding your dream for more than 25 years with only the highest quality hay. Their three-tie red, white, and blue string certifies their hay is grown in Washington State's Ellensburg Valley. And with delivery to Keeneland, Churchill Downs, and farms in central Kentucky, Washington Hay Company is feeding your dream. Call Brad Green at 859-588-5480.
Make plans now to attend the National HBPA Convention, March 13th to 17th in New Orleans, featuring discussions on the sport's hottest topics, including sports betting, inadvertent exposure to medications, and thoroughbred aftercare. You'll hear from guest speakers like Greg Benzel, Joe Asher, Ted Schultz, and Dr. Scott Stanley and Emily Woods. And prominent owner breeder Clay Witham will be on hand to deliver the keynote address. It's the National HBPA Convention, March 13th to 17th in New Orleans.
Okay, this is Carl Nasker, and I listen to HRRN.
This is the Equine Forum on the Horse Racing Radio Network.
Sky Diamond's trying to rally from third. Finest City's forced four wide around the turn, but they're all coming now, and they line up as they arrive at the top of the stretch. Pretty and Cool, just the leader. Constellation trying to hang tough down along the inside. Sky Diamond's also in with a big shot. Finest City's got to dig down on the extreme outside. Four of them with a chance. Constellation, Sky Diamond's, these two now to dispute it. Sky Diamond's forging to the lead. Sky Diamond's from Constellation as they draw down to the line, and the Great Lady M, Sky Diamond's, and Tiago Pereira won it. Constellation second, Finest City third, Pretty and Cool.
Welcome back to the Equine Forum on HRRN. Mike Penna and our Jimmy Johns of Lexington broadcast studios. The Ponta for the Pick Four enjoying a little time off this week. So you're stuck with me for the 2 hours. Going to be joined by several special guests, though. Should be a lot of fun. And we kick it off with our good friend Jeff Bloom of Bloom Racing. You just heard the call of Sky Diamonds winning the Grade 2 Great Lady M Stakes last year. That was one of the efforts that resulted in her being named the California-bred champion older mare for 2017. And that was just a few nights ago when she was honored with that accomplishment. And Jeff, you have to be extremely proud, my friend.
Yeah, I'll tell you what, it was pretty fun listening back to the stretch call of the Great Lady M. And also just fresh off the award for champion California older mare. Fun stuff, Mike.
Yeah, a great performance that day. And, you know, what a story she is. Former claimer, what, $40,000 claimer? And here she is now a champion. That's amazing.
Not bad for a horse that when we decided to put the claim in, said, well, we can probably get out on her if it doesn't work out that great, you know, coming out of the race we claimed her. And, you know, I will never forget after the first time Tiago rode her for us, he was making his way back towards the winner's enclosure, and he pulled me aside and he said, this is a stakes horse. And that was fresh off a claiming victory for us when we came back in that first start. So it's been a lot of fun.
Yeah, and been quite a ride over the past couple of months with her too. She ran in the Breeders' Cup and then was entered to be sold at public auction and was withdrawn from the sale because you decided, you know what, we're just going to keep her and run her here in 2018, and we'll see her back in action tomorrow in the Grade 3 Las Flores.
Yeah, and so you know, that this conversation might have been different had she actually gotten lucky and won the Breeders' Cup. But, you know, it made a lot of sense, just, you know, precautionary measures to put her in that sale. And after the Breeders' Cup, we had to make pretty much a split-second decision on getting her on the plane or doing what we wanted to do, really, which was have a lot of fun racing her. You know, she was only four at the time. She just turned five, and, you know, it made a lot of sense to say, let's have a lot of fun. This filly loves racing. She's still young, and that's where we're at now. It's exciting to have her back entered.
What are you seeing from her over the past month or 6 weeks even that tells you she's ready to roll and she's ready for a big 2018?
Well, I'll tell you, Mike, Bill Spahr's been telling me for a while that he believes Sky Diamonds is actually better now than she was as well as she was doing towards the end of last year. So that in and of itself to me gives me goosebumps, knowing, you know, Bill doesn't throw those kind of comments out there lightly. Also, you know, I've had the opportunity to watch her train here leading up to this race quite a bit. And just visually what you see in her is no question the desire's there. Health-wise, she could not look any better. And so this is a filly that has shown she really does well running fresh. So all of those pieces of the puzzle seem to be falling right into place.
Yeah, also a finalist for Calbred Horse of the Year. That's Sky Diamonds, and back in action tomorrow afternoon in the Grade 3 Las Flores at Santa Anita. Jeff, you are going to be at the fairgrounds later today to watch your exciting 3-year-old Snapper Sinclair go postward in the Grade 2 Risen Star. Now, that's a race that offers the winner 50 points toward a spot in the starting gate of the Kentucky Derby. So virtual win and you're in if Snapper can pull it off.
Yeah, thanks for helping me get even more nervous than I already am. it's a big weekend, certainly, for us. And Snapper, he's such a cool, fun horse to be around, and he's already given us so many thrills. To be able to pull off what would be a mild upset here in the race would be huge, and certainly a Snapper, get us that ticket to the Kentucky Derby, which, of course, everybody in this game strives for.
He comes out of that third place finish in the Grade 3 LeCompte at the fairgrounds on January 13th. I thought he ran a monster race that day, but he faces the two horses that beat him that afternoon, Instilled Regard and Precipe Guillerme. How do you turn the tables on those two? What's the key, Jeff?
Yeah, so, I mean, we're what, just a touch over a neck off of Precipe Guillerme, his stablemate. And, you know, we got bothered a little bit down the lane after doing essentially all the heavy lifting. So, you know, I think if you look at the way that the race unfolded and how we came out of it, in terms of turning the tables, I mean, we're going to have to step up, run a little bit faster, but we've got the seasoning under our belt. The horse definitely handles the conditions of the fairgrounds racetrack. Of course, got that super long stretch. I think we'll see maybe a little bit of different race scenario just based on the types of horses we have in here. The winner, Instilled Regard, I was hoping they wouldn't ship back and stay in California. It's a nice colt, obviously. But, you know, if we move forward, I think we're legitimately right there with those types of horses.
What did Steve have to say after that last race?
Steve was very impressed. I mean, we sort of bucked a bias, if you will, with the way that the speed was playing on that given day in the LeCompte. The horse galloped out extremely well, and also, more importantly, how he came out of the race. Steve was very excited by the way that the horse has evolved, and he's kind of growing up. You know, he's been sort of a big baby Huey, and he's really been handling himself well. And this wasn't the kind of thing where I said, hey, you know, we've got this race, let's go in it, and Steve, you know, went along with it. It was more, you know, Steve's running the show here, and he's directed us all along to coming back in the Risen Star.
Jeff Bloom joining me here on the Horse Racing Radio Network. Looking forward to Snapper Sinclair going in the Risen Star later today. And, of course, he'll send out his outstanding filly Sky Diamonds, who goes in the Grade 3 Las Flores at Santa Anita tomorrow. Jeff, I know you're kind of in a hurry here, so I won't keep you much longer, but I'm kind of curious, for people that have never been involved with owning a horse, and you have several, to be able to see your red and white colors on a horse of that caliber, like a Sky Diamonds or a Snapper Sinclair, what's it like?
Mike, it's the greatest thing you could imagine. I mean, if you could bottle that kind of thing, that experience, you could sell it for a lot of money, because there's no greater thrill than to be involved in this game and competing at this level. And so I'd be lying if I said it didn't, get me excited. And you know, you keep looking for that next big score, that next good horse. And when you finally get your hands on one and you're involved with these kinds of race experiences, it's as good as it gets.
You know, you've been aboard a lot of good horses in your riding career, and you've had the privilege now of watching so many of your own horses race. And I would think after a while it becomes old hat, but are there still some anxious moments when a horse is loading into the starting gate for a big race like this?
Oh, not some anxious moments, all anxious moments. I always tell people, time stops. It just, or slows down as much as it can slow down, from the point when you shake hands with the jockey, listen to the trainer, give the instructions, and then you walk back towards the grandstand. And as the horses are on post parade and slowly making their way towards the starting gate, that's about a year's worth of time and anxiety. You want to get them in that gate and out of there, at least for me. I mean, when I was riding races, you know, that's the sort of thing, you know, the butterflies went away as soon as you got on the back of the horse. Now, as an owner, that's when the butterflies really start.
Have you even allowed yourself to think ahead to the first Saturday in May and what it might be like if Snapper Sinclair makes it into the starting gate?
Yeah, I'd say about 23 and a half hours of each of the days. my time is consumed with those kinds of thoughts. But, you know, it's essentially pie in the sky for all parties involved, but then there's also some reality to it. And so, you know, running in a race like the Risen Star affords that opportunity. So I do think about it quite a bit, but you got to get those first preps out of the way to make sure you can get there.
You know, that doesn't get you out of your responsibility of working with us on the broadcast of the Kentucky Derby. You know that, right?
Oh, I'm ready. I'm ready. Don't worry.
Yeah, you can interview yourself on the walkover.
There you go.
Standing by, so with Jeff Bloom.
I was going to say, Mike, I'll have to make sure I don't put that suntan lotion in my eyes when it starts raining.
He's Jeff Bloom, and Bloom Racing on a roll, and you can visit bloomracing.com to learn more. Jeff, good luck this weekend, both Snapper Sinclair and Sky Diamonds. Go get it done.
Take care, Mike. Thank you.
All right, bud. That's Jeff Bloom. And yeah, wow, how special would it be? I can't even imagine. I've been involved with partial ownership. My wife and I have been involved with partial ownership of a few different horses, and nearly every single one of them has won at least one race. We've had a couple that have won more than one race, but I've always told people, just to get to the races in this sport is such a massive accomplishment. I don't think that your average everyday fan realizes that. It is so difficult just to get a horse to the starting gate. Forget about win a race. If you're fortunate enough to be part of a horse that wins a race, you're really blessed. And that feeling of watching your horse cross the finish line, I've said it a million times on this show, if you could bottle that feeling and sell it, this would be, by 100 miles, the most popular sport in the world, because there is no feeling like it. There's no thrill like it. And to do it, I mean, look, my horses only did it in maiden races and allowance races. We never won a stakes race. We competed in stakes races. We had a horse meeting with Destiny who ran in the Santa Anita Derby. He got thumped by Colonel John, but think about it. We were one race away from a shot at the Kentucky Derby, the dream of everybody that's in this sport. And, you know, and I think that's the other thing that makes this sport so special, is that you can be somebody like myself or just anybody out there, and you can buy into a part of a racehorse, just a couple percent, 5%, whatever it might be, and you feel like you own 100% of that horse. You can go see the horse in the morning at the barn, feed him carrots, try not to get your hand bitten off. I learned that the hard way. You know, you can do anything that you want to do. You can be with the horse in the paddock beforehand. And even if you only own 5%, like it's like you own 100% of that horse. And then to see your horse jump up and run a big race, it's just remarkable. It's like no other sport in the world. You can't go buy 5% of the New York Yankees. You can't go buy 5% of the Pittsburgh Steelers. It's just not going to happen. You can't own a piece of that NFL franchise. You can't own a piece of a Major League Baseball or an NBA franchise. Not for the amount of money you can buy into a horse for 5%. It's like owning your own Major League franchise. We're going to hear from West Point Thoroughbreds Jeff Lifson coming up at 9 o'clock Eastern. Sticking with the theme of Thoroughbred ownership and the thrill of victory. They experienced it a couple of times last weekend. We'll talk to him coming up 9 o'clock Eastern. When we come back, though, I'm going to visit with Eric Hamelback, and he knows that thrill of victory, too. He's been around this sport a long time. He's the CEO of the National HBPA. Big advocates for bringing new owners into the game. We'll spend a few minutes talking with Eric about that, and we'll talk to him about their convention, which is fast approaching in March. We're going to talk to him about some of the topics that they're going to cover in New Orleans when they get to the National HBPA convention. That is next. It's right after your Lexus Legends of the Turf, brought to you every Saturday at this time by the Lexus Store of Lexington, right here on the corner of New Circle and Liberty in Lexington, Kentucky. You go see the Godfather, Tony Attiano, Mike Hendricks, all the great folks. They're horse people, and they want to be the dealership of the equine industry in Central Kentucky. Go see them, the Lexus Store of Lexington, and this is your Lexus Legends of the Turf.
On Sunday afternoon, October 28, 1973, 40,000-plus fans turned out at Toronto's Woodbine Racecourse in somewhat less than auspicious weather to witness the 36th renewal of one of North America's premier racing events. It was the Canadian International Championship Stakes over 1 5/8 miles on the grass. The object of all the attention in the race was the Meadow Stables Secretariat, who'd amassed a record of 15 wins and 20 starts going into the event. He was the American Triple Crown winner, having been the first to accomplish that feat since Citation in 1948, had set 3 track records, a course record, and 2 world records, and he was unscathed on the greenery. He had been Horse of the Year at 2 and was being mentioned in the same breath as the legendary Man of War in terms of ability. There was a genuine feeling of excitement surrounding his appearance in the International. His owner, Penny Tweedy, and his conditioner, Lucien Lauren, had selected this race over the Prix de l'Arc de Triomphe, the Jockey Club Gold Cup, and the Washington, D.C. International for this particular start. On this championship day, people were lined up 3 deep along every path he took to catch but a fleeting glimpse of this marvelous thoroughbred who had been bemonikered Big Red, the same as the aforementioned Man of War. There were 11 other horses entered in the race, which brought the net worth to the winner to a rather tidy $92,000-plus. The reasons for the competition were, first, that Secretariat's regular rider, Ronnie Turcotte, was not to be in the saddle. He had received a 5-day suspension in New York, which precluded his availability as reinsman aboard Big Red. Eddie Maple drew the riding assignment, and he had been accustomed to riding Reba Ridge, Secretariat's stablemate. Secondly, the turf at Woodbine was softer and more dense than at Belmont, where Secretariat had great success on the grass. At post time, the weather conditions turned abominable, from a slight drizzle to a light sleet. Late on that Sunday afternoon, Kennedy Road went on out to set the early fractions and continued in the van after the first mile, setting fractions of 47-2 for the half, 137-3 for the mile. That was all she wrote, so to speak. Secretariat, the big golden chestnut, was set down by Maple and literally exploded in typical Secretariat fashion, zooming to the front going into the last of 3 turns. He led by 3, then by 4, then by 6, and then by 12 open lengths, leaving a totally demolished quality field of thoroughbreds in his wake. At the furlong marker, Maple eased up on the big colt and allowed him to waltz home the easiest kind of winner, by 6 open lengths in a final time of 2:44-4, that time being only 4 ticks off the track record, and this in spite of being eased up, so to speak, at the end. With a 92,000-plus winner share of the purse, he pushed his career earnings to a new all-time single-season mark of $860,000 and surpassed the Great Damascus's mark in so doing. He also became the fourth greatest money winner of all time, trailing only Kelso, Roundtable, and Buckpasser. It all happened on a meteorically, so to speak, miserable day before 40,000-plus racing fans at Woodbine in Canada, Sunday, October 18th or 28th, 1973, in the Canadian International, a truly great performance and indeed a great moment in thoroughbred racing.
Lexus. Once driven, there's no going back. Through inspired design, relentless innovation, and uninhibited performance, Lexus continues their pursuit to perfection with not only precisely engineered automobiles, but powerful, profound, and passionate experiences that move you like never before. Hey everyone, Mike Penna here, and extremely proud to say that I am a Lexus owner, or better yet, a member of the Lexus family at the Lexus store of Lexington. I've told you for more than a decade that the people make the difference at the Lexus store, and that is why I am so proud to be their customer and a member of their family. If you're in the horse business, there's no reason to look anywhere else. As the sponsor of the Grade 2 Lexus Raven Run at Keeneland every fall, the team at the Lexus store of Lexington is committed to supporting the horse industry and to being the dealership of the equine industry here in Central Kentucky. See for yourself. Stop in and talk horse racing with the godfather, Tony Attiano, and all the great folks at the Lexus store of Lexington. And I promise you will love your Lexus experience.
What's on your mind, kid? Make it fast.
I'd like to work here at Jimmy John's, world's greatest gourmet sandwich shop, sir.
Why do you want to work at Jimmy John's, kid?
I'm perfect for Jimmy John's.
Doing what?
Delivery.
Delivery?
Delivery.
We deliver pretty fast here at Jimmy John's.
That's what I heard.
What'd you hear?
You deliver pretty fast here at Jimmy John's.
Then you heard right.
I'm a fast study, sir.
You know the Jimmy John's slogan?
The Jimmy John's slogan?
Jimmy John's slogan is sub so fast you'll freak.
Sub so fast you'll freak is a swell slogan, sir.
When people call for a Jimmy John's sandwich, they want it fast.
Then I'm your man, sir.
How so?
Because I'm fast.
Fast at what?
Fast at everything.
Can you deliver fast?
I can deliver fast.
How fast?
I can run a 440 in 220.
Minutes?
No seconds.
That's fast. You deliver before?
I delivered newspapers before.
Were you fast?
Very fast.
How fast?
People got tomorrow's paper today.
That's fast.
So do I have the job?
Not so fast. How do I know you're not just some fast talker?
I can get your references.
When?
Now.
These are good references.
Thank you.
But at Jimmy John's, you gotta be more than fast.
More than fast.
You gotta be polite.
Fast and polite.
Fast and polite.
I can do fast and polite.
Okay, give me some time to think it over.
Okay.
Okay, I thought it over. When can you start?
Now.
Now is good. What's your name, kid?
Stefan Avalapadopoulos.
Too long. How about Ed?
That's fine.
Welcome aboard, Ed.
Jimmy John's. Exceptional delivery. Order online at jimmyjohns.com. Adina Springs Stallion, point of entry.
Point of entry scores to win the Man of War by four lengths.
A five-time Grade 1 winner viewed by many to be the heir to Dynaformer's global legacy.
Wild final furlong coming here in the Sword Dancer. And here comes point of entry, who's running to daylight.
The first horse since Theatrical to win the New York Turf Triple Crown, accomplishing the feat by a combined nine lengths.
And they're coming down to the finish, and Point of Entry will go to the Breeders' Cup on a five-race winning streak.
Point of Entry hails from a remarkable female family, with his first four dams Grade 1 winners and or producers. Now with winners in six countries on all surfaces from 5.5 to 10 furlongs, including the sensational undefeated Greatest Stakes winner, Analyze It, widely regarded as the best turf horse in his crop. The heir to Dynaformer and the next global sire is Point of Entry. Visit AdinaStallions.com.
This is Al Stahl, and you're listening to the Horse Racing Radio Network.
You're listening to the Equine Forum on the Horse Racing Radio Network. This freaky fast performance is brought to you by your Lexington, Kentucky area Jimmy Johns.
As they come to the top of the stretch in the Florida Derby, and Kent DeSormo and Big Brown have the lead. They're in front by four lengths at the eighth pole, and they're widening here from Smooth Air, who's been left behind, and Big Brown has done it. Big Brown, undefeated, on his way to Louisville as he wins the Florida Derby. Smooth Air was second, Tom Seto was third, and then came Hayburn in fourth. The final time, 1 minute 48.16 seconds.
Welcome back to the Equine Forum here on the Horse Racing Radio Network. Mike Penna in our Jimmy John's of Lexington broadcast studios. That was Larry Colmus with the call of Big Brown's Florida Derby. Who can forget that performance? Simply sensational that day. And you can be part of this year's Florida Derby. You can win a trip for two, which includes airfare, lodging, and tickets to the big day. You can do that through our Road to the Florida Derby Challenge. If you haven't already played in it, well, you want to get busy because there's only a few more weeks left in the contest. You can head over to horseracingradio.com horseracing.net and check out all the rules and information and the contest race for this afternoon. It's all there for you, horseracingradio.net. Win your way to the 2018 Florida Derby. And by the way, you'll get to appear on this program live from Gulfstream Park with us to tell us how you went about winning the contest. That'll be a lot of fun. It's Saturday, March 31st, the ExpressBet.com Florida Derby. By the way, Larry Colmus is going to be part of our broadcast team in just a couple of weeks as we travel to Barbados to bring you our exclusive coverage of the Barbados Gold Cup for the third consecutive year. That broadcast combined with our Fountain of Youth coverage live from Gulfstream Park and should be a big show. Kicks off 3 o'clock Eastern time. And again, all that information listed for you on our website at horseracingradio.net. Well, Eric Hamelback is the CEO of the National HBPA, and their convention comes up in New Orleans March 13th to the 17th, and it features an array of different topics that are pertinent to the industry. You'll hear panel discussions of topics like sports betting and inadvertent exposure to medications and thoroughbred aftercare, many, many more. You'll hear great guest speakers like Greg Bensel and Joe Asher and Ted Schultz in a keynote address delivered by prominent owner and breeder Clay Witham. A lot of things to look forward to March 13th to the 17th in New Orleans. And Eric, I hope I didn't steal all your thunder there, but boy, what
well, that pretty much sums
event.
It up. Glad to be
yeah,
here. So.
Happy to have you on board.
Yeah, thank you. No, Mike, I'm very happy with the way the conventions come together. President Gessman, still with his motto to try to educate horsemen as much as possible. We've really put together what I think is going to be a stellar convention. I'm so honored to have Clay, Mr. Witham, and him as our keynote speaker. Obviously, or many of you who know me personally know that Fort Larned was a horse that I pursued to purchase. Thanks to my good friend Doug Cawthon, I was able to get in there and get him purchased for Mr. Stronach, who now standing at Edina. And they're just such a wonderful, wonderful family, true ambassadors of the sport. Certainly stellars in our industry and ambassadors for the horse as well. And that's a big reason to have him come speak to our group.
You couldn't have picked a better location either to be in New Orleans, right in the French Quarter, too.
Absolutely. New Orleans is obviously one of my favorite places. Did a little time down there as I was going to LSU. And, you know, it's always one of those things that it's not good to be only 45 minutes away from Baton Rouge. But then again, it was a good thing to be only 45 minutes from Baton Rouge. So. No, we had a lot of fun down there, and thanks to the Astor Crown Plaza for hosting us literally on the corner of Canal and Bourbon Street, and had a chance to visit back in December with their staff, and they're excited to have us there. The Louisiana HBPA is so excited to bring the convention back to Louisiana, and they've been just an amazing host and making sure things are set up. We're actually going to be able to go to world famous Antoine's and have a cocktail reception there in the celebration of Kent Sterling, who passed away this past year. And we're very honored to host Sherry, his wife, who's coming over from Gulfstream, and she's going to be there with us and raise a glass to Kent.
Wow, that'll be a special moment.
Very, and very special.
Another reason that you should be in attendance March 13th to the 17th in New Orleans. Let's talk about some of the topics that will be discussed. I touched on a few during the introduction there, Eric, but I think that first and foremost, sports betting is one of those issues that people are going to be hearing an awful lot about in our sport over the course of the next several months. Talk about that a little bit.
Absolutely. And literally the timing is right down to the wire as to how this panel will shape out. Those of you who have been following the Supreme Court decision with the case ultimately in New Jersey and the possible repeal of PASPA, or as many experts say, will be a partial repeal of the Professional Sports Protection Act. We think it will most definitely occur in some shape or form, and what we're seeing now are states getting prepared for that. I'm very honored to have Michelle Fisher of Sportech will be our moderator, but in particular, Dr. Jennifer Dernberger, obviously as a veterinarian, but also as a legal analyst and a consultant with Racing Matters. She's been following this for, I would say, several years now, and we have a list of upwards of 15 states, including Kentucky, that have already have bills ready to go. We also have seen now the NBA, the National Basketball Association, has a bill that's been posted that actually mimics the Horse Racing Act, the Interstate Horse Racing Act. So there could be some serious ramifications, but if we are late to the table, I would say we'll be in trouble. But my goal is to make sure we're at the table, along with Alex Waldrop and his legislative affairs team from the National Thoroughbred Racing Association. We're going to make sure that horsemen are represented at that table, and that you know, we're allowed to be a part of those discussions, as we suspect some of PASPA will be partially repealed.
So I've always looked at it in this fashion, and I think you and I have had this conversation before, Eric, that sports betting and betting on horse racing are two completely separate entities, yep. And one doesn't take away from the other necessarily. So from that aspect, I don't think that the sports betting is something that's going to hurt horse racing, but it sounds to me like your approach is, hey, we want to make sure that we have a seat at that table and we have representation so that if any funds are being allocated in certain ways, that horse racing gets its fair share. Is that, am I looking at it correctly?
Absolutely. I mean, obviously it's a loose comparison to when casinos began to pop up through states, and obviously the coupling occurred in that casinos needed to be at a live racing venue. In particular, there are some states that have already written into their bills that the parlor, or the bricks and mortar, as you would, have to be at a racetrack. So, you know, there are some symbiotic relationships that can most definitely benefit us. Let it be said, though, and I'm sure you know, Mike, they don't need us in any way, shape, or form. They can certainly kick off sports betting and do it perfectly legally within the realms of the Interstate, I should say the Wire Act, and have a legal platform right now, starting tomorrow. What we hope to do is to be able to utilize much the same way people coming into a casino such as a Gulfstream Park or Mountaineer or Charlestown, and also get the benefit of racing as well. So we want to have a symbiotic relationship, because at the end of the day, we know in the United States that gambling is something that a lot of people do. We appreciate it, and we just want to be at the table and make sure that we help, and the relationship is a good one.
Talking with Eric Hamelbeck, the CEO of the National HBPA here on the Horse Racing Radio Network. What other topics, Eric, are going to be front and center at the convention?
Well, one that I just want to hit on briefly, but I think it's important. Good friend Hank Zetlin, who's now with the Thoroughbred Racing Association, or Thoroughbred Racetrack Association, the TRA, he and Curtis Linnell, Curtis with the TRPB, Thoroughbred Racetrack Public Protection Bureau. Sorry, yeah. So many alphabet soups you get lost, but they'll be there to talk.
Nice reference to alphabet soup.
Exactly.
By the way.
Thank you. You picked
back to
up
the
on
Adina
that.
Springs days.
Exactly. They're going to be there to talk a bit about the new wave, the new generation, as it were, of identification with the chip process. There's going to be some transition time. You know, we're migrating over to electronic foal papers. So the racetracks and owners are going to be affected in that. And so there's going to be some transition time. So I'm glad that they've agreed to come talk about that. I'm very happy to have Purina Feeds as a sponsor this year. We're very honored to have Dr. Kelly Vineyard there to talk about nutrition and gastric support of racehorses. Again, I'm never going to be able to get that farm manager blood completely out of me. You have to take care of the horse first. To have a successful horse, you need to have a healthy horse. And that's always going to be a part of my conventions in some way, shape, or form, is making sure we understand and put the horse first. Patrick Thompson is going to be there to talk about some of the misconceptions and misrepresentations of the National Licensing Compact. We feel like that is something that not enough owners take part in. And I think there's some reasons for some of the misconceptions, but we're glad to have him there to talk about that and hopefully answer some questions. You mentioned Greg Bensel with the Saints and Pelicans organization, but also obviously helping the Bensons and their racing organization. I met Greg several years ago. He and Jimmy Buffett and Drew Brees owned a Ghost Zapper, and I got a chance to meet with them, and he reached out to me directly and said, "Hey man, I want to be a part of the convention," and shot me an email. And of course, Jenny Reese knows him, and we put him on obviously the best panel that we could have teed up for him, which is our communications panel and horsemen needing to be citizens marketers, market themselves and learning how to do it the right way.
Did you get the chance to hang out with Jimmy Buffett and Drew Brees?
No, I didn't. I wish I could say I could, but
how great would that be?
That would have been great. I did get a Drew Brees signed Saints hat that sits on my alligator head in my office, but no, I didn't get a chance to meet those guys in person.
And brutal loss in the playoffs this year.
We'll skip on and go.
Too soon,
yeah.
That's all right. My Steelers got 3 weeks probation, too. So
that's right.
They're back, but right. It took a while. Some other guest speakers. You're going to have a few veterinarians there. You touched on some of those. Also, you touched on Clay Witham, who is going to be there to deliver the keynote address. So there are a lot of things to look forward to and a lot of aspects involved with this HBPA convention. It seems like there's really something for everybody.
Absolutely. I mean, even former National HBPA CEO Remy Bullock, who's now with the North American Riding Academy. One of our biggest issues in this industry, and everybody knows, and I'm an advocate for a labor force change. We need labor force initiatives. Buff Bradley is going to be there along with Remy, Dr. McClellan, and discuss what we can do as an industry to help build our own labor force. And a lot of it we hope to kick off here in Kentucky, but it's built on a national template, and hopefully with the utilization of BCTC and colleges such as that, we can develop programs much like the Kentucky Equine Management Internship Program already has, putting students in a place where they understand that this is and can be a very viable profession. And we want to get them early, and we want to get them into the groove and understand this industry.
And you're talking about people that would eventually want to get a job working on the backside?
Either. Or, I mean, our hope is that making those who get into this industry understand that it's certainly a hands-on industry, but much as myself, who literally came from the ground up, that's the way this industry is built. And if you look at a lot of the great farm managers out there, they started as hot walkers. They started as grooms at farms. And those efforts, I think we need to put into getting people exposed to it, because we see this time and time again in today's society. We're moving a little bit away from agriculture. We don't have the kids, so to speak, coming out of high school that necessarily want to go into a field that is considered agriculture. And so we want to be able to grab those kids as early as high school and maybe even earlier, and start to educate them in that way. So with Buff and Dr. McClellan, and then also Will Veeley will be on to discuss, again, some of the H-2B visa issues, some of the progressions and the steps backwards that we're trying to get in play in D.C. Again, legal immigration is what we need to be pushing for to help with the assistance and the labor force shortage that we have.
The slogan of the National HBPA, Eric, is horsemen helping horsemen. How have you been able to stay true to that statement over the years?
Well, I mean, that's a great question, Mike. And I would say that, you know, long before my days with the HBPA, that's a subliminal sort of message that I've lived by, because ultimately, as great as this industry is, it's a small one. Mm-hmm. And when we are able to assist others and make this profession, to me, one of the greatest professions out there, you know, I listened to you a bit on the way in, that feeling Obviously myself as a personal breeder, but my glory has been a part of a team, and I'll never forget my walk over in the Derby in 2001 with Thunder Blitz. You know, we ran fourth. It was the only time that Adina's ever run a horse in the Derby. And it was a feeling that literally I get goosebumps now.
That in itself is amazing, by the way.
Yeah. Well,
that in itself is amazing.
Exactly. I mean, I would say that Frank was always one to be happy to skip the Derby, as we did with Red Bullet, and come in and blow the doors off in the Preakness. But, you know, that feeling, you know, again, is something that I hope to transfer. And that is a part of horsemen helping horsemen. I mean, you know, the education is where I pull out of that motto. And again, whether it's educating, a part of what we're trying to do with one of our discussions is aftercare for thoroughbreds is now, thankfully, to organizations such as the TCA and the TAA. It's on everybody's mind, the TRF. Those organizations have been fighting it for a long time. Now it's on the forefront when we're talking about it. But we also need to remember that there's education to be had. My motto in the panel that we're doing in New Orleans is we do need solutions, not just funding. We're very happy to have Dr. Emily Weiss from the ASPCA. She's going to join Stacy, Jessica Hammond, and Michelle Rodriguez, along with Louisiana HBPA President Bernard Chatters, to talk about, yes, we do need money. We're always going to need money, but there's an education process for trainers to understand, hey, guys, look at the RRP and look how successful that is. We have an avenue for horses that they can go onto a second and sometimes third career. And, you know, as an ex-polo player that's broke down and too old, they're great, great second career horses.
Yeah, you might be a broke down polo player, but you still have a gator head in your office.
That's
which is
right.
One of my favorite things ever.
Yeah. It's an exhilarating thing to kill a gator, and I think we got six that day. But
motto: don't hunt anything that might hunt me back. So I'm out on the gator hunt. I'll stick with deer for now, my friend.
There you go.
Hey, Eric Hamelback is the president or the CEO of the National HBPA. You can visit with him and the entire team March 13th to the 17th in New Orleans and get more information by visiting their website, nationalhbpa.com. Eric, appreciate the visit, my friend.
Absolutely. Always a pleasure to be here.
Enjoy the convention.
Thank you.
We'll get to one final break here in this first hour. A busy second hour lays ahead. I'll tell you all about it next on the Equine Forum on HRRN, your home for the Kentucky Derby and the Triple Crown.
I'm speaking with Joe Brown Nicholson of Nicholson Insurance Agency. Joe, can you explain how the claims process works? Knock on wood, I haven't experienced a claim recently and hope I never will, but what happens?
Well, Mike, after we are notified by the insured of an accident or event, we will submit a claim report to the company, giving basic details of the claim. A claims representative will then contact the insured to walk them through the claim settlement process. Most claims are settled promptly, efficiently, and to the complete satisfaction of the insured.
Well, that sounds fair.
Basically, the insured is buying an insurance policy, which is a promise to pay in the event of a covered claim. It also provides peace of mind absent of a claim. That's the way it works.
Thanks, Joe. For all your equine and general insurance needs, call Nicholson Insurance Agency at 859-224-7080. You gotta know Joe.
Hi, Tony.
Hey, Matthew.
There's a reason why Tony's Steaks and Seafood is my favorite restaurant. It's because I want to feel part of the family. Isn't that right, Tony?
That's right. There's a saying on the wall that I truly believe in. There's always room for one more at our table. We just want you to be part of our family.
And believe me, you will be. It's Tony's Steaks and Seafood right across from Triangle Park. Visit them at tonysteaksandseafood.com.
Today is Sprint Fest Winter Carnival Day at Laurel Park. Come on out to watch and wager on five terrific stakes races with total purses of nearly $1 million. This great wagering card features two historic Maryland sprints, the $300,000 Grade 2 Barbara Fritchie Stakes and the $200,000 Grade 3 General George Stakes. Today is Sprint Fest Winter Carnival Day and post time for the first race is 12:30. We'll see you at Laurel Park.
power.
And Tapazara, sterling performance today. Tapazara and Corey Nakatani take the dirt mile.
Passion.
And it's American pastime in a very, very impressive effort today.
Performance.
But they're way far behind Monomoy Girl. Sharp in victory was she by 5 under the wire.
Gainesway stallion Tapazar is Tappet's leading miler. Displaying brilliant speed throughout his racing career, breaking his maiden by 10.5 lengths as a 2-year-old, wiring the Grade 3 Sham Stakes by 4.25 lengths at 3, and running away with the Grade 1 Breeders' Cup Dirt Mile by 2.25 lengths at 4. A top 10 third crop sire, Tapazar has stamped his early progeny with the same quality and speed. From the family of Tappet's champion filly Untappable and the sire of 50 winners, 2 stakes winners, 2 graded stakes horses, and more than $3 million in progeny earnings. Tapazar, standing at Gainesway.
Power, passion, performance. You know I'm talking about Gainesway Farm.
Hi, it's Ian Wilkes here, and you're listening to HRRN Radio.
This is the Equine Forum on the Horse Racing Radio Network.
Here's Kantaka starting to come home dangerously. 4 deep and really powering after them down the outside at the 3/16 pole. And Kantaka sweeps clear. Nero gets to second. Axeman and Mr. Jägermeister deal to themselves into submission. 16th to go, and Kantaka blasting away with the San Vicente. Kantaka takes it by 3 lengths to Nero, and they are a dozen to clear of the third-placed all-out blitz with Axeman struggling into fourth.
Kantaka with a powerful win in the San Vicente at Santa Anita last weekend, and now firmly supplanted on the Kentucky Derby trail for West Point Thoroughbreds. And we're going to talk with Jeff Lifson from West Point coming up at 9 o'clock Eastern. So stay tuned for that interview in just about 5 minutes from right now. Mike Nyman, Director of Marketing at Gulfstream Park, is going to be with me at 9:25 Eastern to tell you all about their starter stakes day, which takes place this afternoon. Almost every race on the card, 11 of 12, are stakes races. How cool is that? Great idea, great concept, great participation by the horsemen too. So looking forward to that visit coming up at 9:25 Eastern time. Don't forget that once again, Coolmore America's Munnings showed why he is one of the best sires, best value sires in America with a stakes double last weekend. His 4-time graded stakes winning son, Ohm, took his earnings over $1 million with victory in the Grade 3 Thunder Road Stakes at Santa Anita. Also on the same day, Chief Chicatriz, I think I got that right, maybe not, extended his record to 7 wins from 9 starts in the Phoenix Gold Cup for owner breeder Roy Evans. Yeah, big performance by Sons of Munnings. Munnings is a proven sire of racehorses and stands at Coolmore America's Ashford Stud for a fee of $25,000 in 2018. So check him out and make sure you contact the Coolmore team for more information on Munnings and on all of their stallions. Fun first half of the program. Really enjoyed the visit with Jeff Bloom of Bloom Racing, talking about Sky Diamonds and Snapper Sinclair. They have a very busy weekend. Eric Hamelback just a few minutes ago filling you in on the National HBPA Convention coming up here in just a couple of weeks. If you missed any portion of the show, all you have to do is go to our website. That's horseracingradio.net. You can check out the podcast of this program and all of our shows at your leisure, horseracingradio.net. And while you're there, make sure you check out our podcast of Jock Talk presented by Tito's Handmade Vodka and Trainer Talk presented by Fasig Tipton and, of course, the Brisnet.com call-in show and the Weekend Stakes Preview, which is presented by Naira Betts, where you can get all the selections for this weekend's races from our crack team of handicappers. But that visit that I had on Trainer Talk this past Wednesday night with Mark Cassie was off the charts good. Mark was off the charts good. He talked about Teppan. He talked about world approval. He talked about the relationship with his son, Norman, who is now out on his own. He talked about making his father proud. Remember, his dad passed away last year. And after he passed away, Mark went on this ridiculous hot streak, was inducted into the Canadian Hall of Fame, was a finalist for the American Hall of Fame, And Mark talked about all of that. He talked about the emotions and keeping his emotions in check and staying focused through that very difficult time. It was an unbelievable hour visit. Head back over there now, horseracingradio.net, or maybe wait till 10 o'clock Eastern until we're done here this morning. Then go over and check it out, horseracingradio.net, Trainer Talk presented by Fasig Tipton. Second half of the show comes up next, right after we pause. 10 seconds for station identification. This is the Horse Racing Radio Network, your home for the Derby and Triple.
From the rail to your radio, this is the Horse Racing Radio Network.
It is Forever Unbridled. Abel Tasman charging, but running out of time. Forever Unbridled's going to do it. Forever Unbridled has won the Breeders' Cup Distaff. It is Irish War Cry. And on the outside, Taprit. Taprit has taken the lead. Taprit and Irish War Cry come down to the line together. It is Taprit and Jose Ortiz in the Belmont Stakes.
Originating from our Jimmy John's of Lexington studios, welcome to the Equine Forum.
Shaman Ghost is trying to get into second, then Neolithic. Back forth is Noble Bird, followed by Keen Ice. But what a race! What a sport! What a horse! Arrogate romps in the Pegasus. He won it by 3.5.
They're into the stretch. Good Magic's in front. Good Magic pulls away from Solomini, and Boldoro will not get there today. Good Magic's going to win his first race, and he's going to do it in the Breeders' Cup Juvenile.
Now, here's Mike Pena.
Welcome back. Hour number two of the Equine Forum rolling on a busy Saturday morning, edging closer to the first Saturday in May. And, yeah, we have a couple of Derby preps on the docket later this afternoon and this weekend. You have the El Camino Real at Golden Gate in California, offering 10 points to the winner today. You have the Grade 2 Risen Star Stakes at the Fairgrounds, a virtual win and you're in for the Kentucky Derby. The winner of the Risen Star going to be awarded 50 points for that victory, which will no doubt get that horse into the starting gate beneath the Twin Spires on the first Saturday in May. Told you at the top of the show that Hall of Famer Jerry Hollendorfer, who comes off of a massive weekend at Santa Anita 1 week ago, loaded for bear in those two Derby preps. He has the morning line favorite in both, Choo Choo in the El Camino Real, and Instilled Regard, the LeCompte winner, going in the Risen Star. Part of Jerry's big weekend last Saturday and Sunday was the 11-1 upset of the San Vicente with a horse by the name of Cantaca. He also had Unique Bella, who came back successfully in the Grade 2 Santa Maria. Cantaca, racing in the black and gold colors of West Point Thoroughbreds, just powered away from the field. That was an impressive effort. Defeated the highly regarded Axeman from the barn of Bob Baffert and some other promising horses, too. And it was Cantaca's day, and you can look for more big things from him up the road. And joining us now is Jeff Lifson from West Point Thoroughbreds. Jeff, first of all, welcome to the program, and congratulations on an unbelievable weekend.
Thank you. And, yeah, I'm still tiny bit hoarse, and my pores are still open wide, and still feeling, you know, very grateful for the way the racing got shined on us last weekend.
Well, you should be. And it wasn't just about Cantaca. Of course, he stole the show on the three-year-old side of things, but then you had your old veteran seven-year-old Ring Weekend, who came back and scored that big allowance race in his 2018 debut at Gulfstream Park.
That was a big deal, too, if only to make those of us who are now over 50 on the human side of things feel good about the old folks on the equestrian side. He looks like he's not seven. He looks like he's a younger horse for the way he trains. And so that was really neat to see him come back and be, you know, that powerful in the stretch of Gulfstream.
You know, it's hard to believe. You read the articles and you look at the past performances, and here's a Horse Ring Weekend that is a Grade 1 winner and went, from November 2016 without winning a race, which to me was unbelievable because he always seems to show up. He always seems to be around at the finish. It's almost improbable that he would not win a race.
I know. We were saying the same thing amongst all the partners in the West Point Thoroughbred team members. you know, he you're right. He did show up. He certainly was, you know, didn't embarrass himself. He ran hard. He ran competitively. And one thing that happened to him, Mike, is that as horses will do, he kind of, you know, decided that he was not going to be, you know, all that swift from the gate anymore. Like, I don't really need to worry about, you know, go out of the gate, guys. I'm a pro. So he'd take back. He'd take himself back. And we had all sorts of jocks that we'd say, hey, can you, you know, can you cowboy him a little bit and see if you can get a little bit closer to the pace, because that's really hurting us. We're not quite getting there in the stretch. Old horses will do that. Old smart horses, pros, will do what they will do. And you just, you need to get out of their way and just, you know, hope for a pace scenario that kind of makes sense.
Well, Ring Weekend able to put it all together last Sunday at Gulfstream Park. On the other coast at Santa Anita, we talked about Kantaka with that big win in the San Vicente. And, you know, Jeff, look, he was lagging behind. He spotted the field six or seven lengths. But when he unleashed that run on the turn and came four or five wide off the turn, he was in full flight for the wire at that point, and nobody was going to run with him in the stretch. This was a really powerful effort.
It was. It was fun to watch. It was a bit surreal. I told partners going into it that I thought, you know, Axeman, based on the numbers I'd seen and how powerful his first performance was for Bob Baffert and crew, that we were probably running for second. But I do think, and I also said that I thought we would be better going two turns against Axeman, just because we seem to have a colt in Kantaka that's, you know, despite his, any kind of pedigree reservations people have or any type of, you know, sort of scenarios about the pace meltdown in the last race, he's just a very rateable, mature, professional horse for a three-year-old. And that really is so, so useful, you know, when these races start to get competitive, when pace scenarios go cockeyed and wacky. So I thought that we would run big, but I couldn't imagine how big we ran in the race on Saturday.
Yeah, as you're watching him go up the backstretch, I mentioned that lead that the horses in front had six or seven lengths, but then you see the fractions, and I believe it was like 22 flat and 44 and change. What was going through your mind at that point?
Well, I just wanted to, I looked at him. How was he traveling? You know, as a horseman and a guy who buys horses with the team, you always want to see, you know, what's your horse's body language saying at that point. I saw the pace was fast. I figured that based on the way he seemed to be traveling, he was real comfortable. Obviously, Flavian hadn't asked him anything yet, that he was going to make a run, and whether it was good enough or not, I just didn't know. But that's kind of what I thought, Mike.
When did the team at West Point know they had something special with this horse?
Oh, you know, we're all going to sound like we're brilliant. most of us know that we're not. Last summer, when he shipped to Jerry Hollendorfer's barn in at Los Alamitos, I remember telling a lot of people that were partners or thinking about getting involved with them that he just stunned me at showing up before really the hard training started with an incredible mind and just great physical maturity for a horse that was two showing up in Southern California in July. Now, Aaron Birkenauer, who's also on the buying team, Carrie's daughter and excellent horseman in her own right, she loved this colt at the two-year-old sale, at the Barrett sale. Really thought he was going to be special then. But you know this, Mike. We buy horses every year, and we're blessed with partners that will, you know, get involved with those horses. And we expect high things, big things from all of them. We all know that doesn't, you know, just doesn't, you're never 100 for 100. You're never 10 for 10, or, you know, you're never batting 1,000.
Yeah, well, it's nice when you get one like this that comes along and everything seems to fall into place. At least it has to this point. And winning the San Vicente, Jeff, looking ahead to the first Saturday in May, winning the San Vicente has been a promising thing to do. 10 Derby winners have raced in that particular event and then gone on and won the Derby. You had 7 that have won both, including Nyquist, the last to do it in 2016. So that bodes well. What's next for Kantaka?
Well, you're right, and it's a formful race. My favorite of all time in my racing lifetime was Silver Charm winning the San Vicente. He's one of my all-time favorite Derby winners, which certainly dates me now. But I think all options are on the table. Jerry has talked about any number of different races, including the San Felipe at home, the Rebel on the road, the Sunland race, and the Gotham. I think the Gotham is an intriguing race because the timing works out beautifully, Mike, and it's still one turn. I guess you could say that that's a, you know, that's a benefit and a cost when you really kind of add everything up, because your next race, let's say he runs big in the Gotham, if we choose that route, would be his very first two-turn race and one of the final preps before the Kentucky Derby. So lots to decipher and figure out between now and then, but those are the obvious choices.
I'm talking with Jeff Lifson of West Point Thoroughbreds here on the Horse Racing Radio Network. Jeff, Kantaka, not the only promising three-year-old that's racing in the West Point colors this spring. You have a few others, in particular, Shiver Me Timbers, the son of Shanghai Bobby. You have Seven Trumpets, the son of Morning Line. And I'm going to try and say this right, Septimius Severus. Did I get it right?
Congratulations. you passed Latin 101. Yes, I mean, those horses, Untamed Domain's going to make a run in the Tampa Bay Derby, and of course,
oh, good.
He comes with a lot of steam from last year in the fall, running second in the Breeders' Cup Juvenile Turf. Don't discount this horse that's going to run in the Gander Stakes, another Morning Line called Empire Line. He's the favorite, the Morning Line favorite for us, and he's going to run, obviously, in a New York Red Stake, the Gander, on Sunday at Aqueduct. But if he should run a powerful race, we might, you know, consider him for open, you know, Derby prep down the line. It's a big jump, so we're not, you know, we're taking it one race at a time. And he's 2-for-2 and already a stakes winner. But he's another horse that certainly would be one to talk about amongst our, you know, our Triple Crown nominees. So, the Morning Line Colt Seven Trumpets is the next up that we're going to cast again versus other Derby hopefuls, and that's Monday at Oaklawn.
Yeah, I think he's got a lot of ability. I like Seven Trumpets. I think he can make some noise here as we move closer to that first Saturday in May. What's the word on Shiver Me Timbers? I know he didn't return the way you were hoping he would return. What can you tell me about him?
Well, I think we learned a little bit more about him is that he really doesn't want to get cowboyed, hustled out of the gate. We've done that the last couple of times, and it just hasn't worked out very well for us. He really did throw in the towel at the top of the stretch in his last race in the Bob Lewis. So what I think we're going to do is one of several, you know, potential options. We'll certainly go two turns with him next time out if there's an allowance race that can give us an opportunity to, you know, to test our theory that he'd just like to run his own way rather than super close to the pace and make a run, you know, middle of the race. That might be an opportunity. But as you know, Mike, I mean, these allowance races, especially on the West Coast, they don't fill all the time.
Yeah.
They don't materialize. So you may be forced to think about something a little bit more, you know, difficult, a little bit more imposing, some stakes race someplace. But we're still probably week or 2 or 3 weeks away from making a final decision on where he's going to go next.
Jeff, last year, Always Dreaming provided you and the entire West Point team with a moment that is going to last in your heart forever. I know it will. Now that you've gotten a taste of what it feels like to reach that pinnacle and win the Kentucky Derby, does it make you want it even more this year?
Oh, yeah. I think Bob Baffert's gone well on record as saying, like, the first one is just the appetizer. I'm paraphrasing, but when he won with Silver Charm after being beaten by, you know, just by a nostril hair the year before with Grindstone and Cavaneer, I think that he got it. He got it really early. And if there's anything that still fuels Bob and a number of us in this game, I live in Louisville, so it's so near and dear to my heart. It's Derby. And that's, you know, something that we point for. But you have to balance that with a very healthy sense of doing right by the horse. So you don't want to, you know, keep swinging at something that with a bat that's not going to handle the fastball. So, yes, there's that hunger, that drive, that passion, that desire is there. It's there when we go to the sales and we buy these horses at the auctions. Certainly there for me, because last year, as you say, Mike, was an out-of-body experience. It was so cool to be there with, you know, the partners that had supported us and bought into the cult and Always Dreaming. We bought him a piece of him privately. And it was also really cool there to be with my wife and my son. I mean, my wife's a native Louisvillian. My son obviously grew up in Louisville, and is near and dear to my heart. So to see them just absolutely blown away by the moment was pretty cool. So that fuels you. That gets you up in the morning, certainly.
Will you still pull up the replay from time to time?
Yeah. And, you know, the emails that we send out, I think, on our signature page on our emails, we still have a replay of the race. So in case, you know, anybody from the company sends me an email, I can always have that opportunity to click on it if I'm wanting to reminisce back to May.
How about
and I know this much. I'm going to go over to the museum, to the Derby Museum before Derby this year at least once to watch that amazing, you know, sort of 360 experience that they have over there. Because what they'll do is after the new Derby winner this year wins, they'll, you know, redo the film. And I want to catch it one last time with Always Dreaming thundering down the stretch.
I talked earlier in the program about the thrill that I have had being involved with a couple of different horses that have won and owning just a small fraction of those horses. But the thrill is still the same as if you own 100%. And that's kind of the concept of West Point Thoroughbreds as well, where you can bring in investors and get people involved in these horses for fractional ownership and have a chance to win a race like the Kentucky Derby. Have you guys seen a boost in interest with West Point after that victory in the Kentucky Derby last year, Jeff?
I think so. I mean, anecdotally speaking, we don't do a number of business metrics that tells us whether we obviously do monitor the number of new prospective clients, and that's gone up considerably. We had a really good year with new clients. So I guess those two things would be good indicators. The important thing is that at least it gives people an opportunity to take a look at us, and then they'll join in on a conversation with me or some of the other client representatives across the country that are West Point people, Terry or Tommy Bellhouse up in New York, or Joe Migliori down in the Long Island area. Those are people that they'll get a chance to talk to, and at that point they can decide whether we're a good fit for them, whether another outfit's a good fit for them, whether this is something they really want to do. Because in the end, new people, as you're talking about, Mike, like yourself, who have a little piece of a horse and are supporting this game we love so much in that way, they're so critical. They're the lifeblood to this industry continuing to not just survive but to thrive.
Visiting with Jeff Lifson of West Point Thoroughbreds here on the Equine Forum on HRRN. Jeff, you talk about being a good fit and people hoping that they're a good fit for the West Point program. Well, your son was recently honored as being a great fit for the Air Force Academy, and he's going to go play football for him, my friend. Well done. Congratulations to him.
Thank you. Yeah, it was really cool. Signing day was last Wednesday, and as you know, obviously I was a little bit more than just a casual observer at the various ceremonies that took place both at his school at Kentucky Country Day School there in Louisville, and then there was another ceremony at the gym where he trains, Aspirations Gym down there, close to the airport in Louisville. What was really cool was to see just how happy he was specifically, just how overjoyed he was with the moment and where all the hard work had gone. It doesn't stink to be 6'3", 230 and have pretty decent hands. That tends to get you at least a look or two from coaches. But I know how hard Josh has worked, and it's been really, really cool to see, you know, his dreams fulfilled. It's been an incredible year. The kid stood in the winner's circle last May at Churchill Downs, his connection to Always Dreaming. And then, you know, within a year, he's signing to become a tight end for the Air Force Academy.
Why was Air Force the right choice for him, Jeff?
A couple of different reasons. One, and he wasn't, you know, we're not a military family, although we certainly honor and respect and work for a military man in Terry Finley.
Yeah, I was going to ask you what Terry thought about that decision.
He was incredibly helpful when we were trying to figure it out, and he's been amazingly supportive. Even though he's a Black Knight guy, he's an Army guy, Army guy, as opposed to the Air Force Academy. I think that when you're a kid being recruited, you look first at the schools that really come after you pretty hard. Appalachian State was one of them. Duke was pretty enthusiastic at one time, and so was the Air Force Academy. And Josh really didn't have a great deal of what that was all about until we went and visited the campus and went to camp there. And he started thinking in a very, in a really a mature way for a 17-year-old, thinking about, you know, life beyond the 4 years of college or 5 years of college for some kids. So that's what sold him. It can't be because they throw the ball a ton, because they don't.
Right.
I mean, he's lobbying with some of his other, you know, recruits, the guys that signed, you know, maybe we'll have a quarterback that want to throw the ball and we'll kind of open up the offense a little bit. But I think they're still going to stick to their very strong running game.
Yeah,
the Falcons are a running team.
Better start working on that blocking.
He's a good blocker, too. Yeah, he's very solid.
Jeff Lifson here on the Horse Racing Radio Network. Jeff, congratulations on that success personally and on the success of West Point Thoroughbreds. Keep the ball rolling, and let's see if we can't get back to that starting gate beneath the Twin Spires again.
We know how hard it is, Mike, but thank you for bringing me on. It's been a real pleasure.
All right, yeah, a lot of fun. Jeff Lifson, one of the true good guys in the sport of thoroughbred racing. And like all of our guests who appear on the program, he's going to receive a gift courtesy of Embrace the Race. Embrace your passion and wear what you love at EmbraceTheRace.com. It is the apparel for the horse racing lifestyle. Mike Nyman coming up in just about 5 minutes or so. But before we get to that point and before we get to our next break, it is time for your Blood Horse News update and a look at the top headlines from BloodHorse.com. Well, here's a fun one from the folks at Foal Patrol. Center Court delivers a Medaglia d'Oro filly. That's right, Center Court, the multiple graded stakes winning mare owned by G. Watts Humphrey III, residing at Humphrey's Shawnee Farm, delivered the third foal of the National Museum of Racing and Hall of Fame's Foal Patrol project shortly before 3 a.m. on February 15th. The foal, a bay filly by Medaglia d'Oro, was an early arrival as the farm had a projected foaling date of February 19th. Both Center Court and the foal are in perfect health. Blood Horse Magazine has been covering thoroughbred racing and breeding for over 100 years, and it's the industry's only weekly magazine. For feature stories from the industry's best writers, in-depth analysis, award-winning photography, stake shells, and a comprehensive coverage of the ever-changing world of thoroughbred racing, all you have to do is subscribe to Blood Horse Magazine. Don't miss an issue. Go to subscribe.bloodhorse.com today and sign up. And I'm back to talk about the big day of racing in South Florida at Gulfstream Park. I'll do that with Mike Nyman, the Director of Marketing, next on the Equine Forum on the Horse Racing Radio Network.
This is the Horse Racing Radio Network, your home for racing's biggest events.
Bloom Racing.
Majestic City could also still do it, and here he comes.
Majestic City running a big one.
Started by former jockey and 35-year racing industry veteran Jeffrey Bloom, Bloom Racing offers racing partnerships, bloodstock services, pinhooking, and private race management.
Soul Driver the leader, though. Soul Driver in front.
Experience the fun, excitement, and exclusive access of racehorse ownership with Bloom Racing. Forming racing partnerships now. Get in on the action at BloomRacing.com.
Airdrie Studs Summer Front, a gorgeous millionaire son of the Great War Front, has wasted no time in establishing himself as a major force in the commercial marketplace. Known on the racetrack for his electric turn of foot, Summer Front's first crop weanlings averaged over $100,000 with a sensational $100,000 median at the Keeneland November sale, all from an initial stud fee of just $10,000. Airdrie Studs Summer Front. Think about it.
When it's time to paint the fences and barns, think Farm Paint. At Farm Paint, you get the industry's best coatings and paints factory direct at low, low prices. Farm Paint is your source for quality paints, roof coatings, dustless arena footings, and more. You can purchase online or drop into a Farm Paint store near you with locations in Heart of Bluegrass Country at 700 Phillips Lane in Lexington, Kentucky, Columbus, Ohio, and Sandusky, Ohio. Buy factory direct and save at farmpaint.com. That's farmpaint.com.
Fans, don't miss out on a big three-day weekend at Santa Anita as we've got special President's Day racing on Monday. We'll get the weekend started with Mardi Gras at Santa Anita on Saturday, and we've got great racing all weekend as well with the Grade 2 Las Virginas on Saturday. And on Sunday, fillies and mares go 6 furlongs in the Grade 3 Las Flores. Monday is also Dollar Day with $1 beers and sodas, and we've got great racing as well with a pair of $200,000 stakes, the Cal Cup Oaks and the California Cup Derby. Santa Anita, great racing and great value in a world-class setting.
It's time now to shine the spotlight on the Darley Taking the Reins Performer of the Week.
Luke Cullen powering away. Luke Cullen and Irad Ortiz Jr. win it easily. They won it by three in the end. A wall of horses for second.
Luke Cullen and Rocketry completed a hard-spun exacta in a high-level turf allowance race at Gulfstream this past weekend, earning buyer speed figures of 97 and 91, respectively, making them your Darley Taking the Reins Performers of the Week. Darley Stallion Hard Spun is Dan Zig's last Grade 1 winning son, who sired more first crop winners than any other stallion. Hard Spun had 8 3-year-olds run a 90-plus buyer in 2017, including Luke Cullen and Rocketry. That's more than Curlin, Uncle Mo, Into Mischief, Candy Ride, Pioneer of the Nile, Scat Daddy, Union Rags, and Malibu Moon. Learn more about Hard Spun and all the Darley Stallions by visiting DarleyAmerica.com.
Hi, this is Chris McCarron, and you're listening to the best horse racing show on the radio on Horse Racing Radio Network.
You're listening to the Equine Forum on the Horse Racing Radio Network. This freaky fast performance is brought to you by your Lexington, Kentucky area Jimmy Johns.
Canavera is into fifth, but still a long way off the lead, and the lead is now held by Always Dreaming. Impressive Edge and Three Rules, followed in by Talk Logistics, Coleman Rocky on Bridled Holiday, Charlie the Greek, and Keeney Entos.
Pete Aiello with the call of that Florida Derby from 1 year ago, Always Dreaming, getting the victory that afternoon. Of course, it would lead to better things up the road as he would go on and win the Kentucky Derby on the first Saturday in May, becoming the 24th Florida Derby horse to go on and wear the roses, the 15th horse to win both the Florida Derby and the Kentucky Derby. And the reason that I welcomed you back with that clip, number one, you just heard Jeff Lifson of West Point Thoroughbreds talk about what a thrill it was to be there as he crossed the line first at Churchill Downs on that day. And with that Florida Derby from last year, it leads us into telling you about being at this year's Florida Derby. And it's very easy to do. You can win your way there by playing in our Road to the Florida Derby Challenge on our website at horseracingradio.net. Now, you don't have much time. You only have a few weeks left. So if you're hoping to win, you better get busy, and you better pick a lot of winners. But you can still get in on the contest. So many people all over the world have participated. Win your way to the 2018 Florida Derby simply by playing in the Road to the Florida Derby Challenge. It is free to play, and you can get details on our website. It includes lodging. It includes airfare. It includes tickets to the big day. It includes tickets to the Florida Derby party the night before at Gulfstream Park. And it includes an appearance on this program, this very same show, the Equine Forum, live from Gulfstream Park, Saturday, March 31st, to tell us how you did it and how you picked enough winners to get there and win your way to this year's Florida Derby. Well, speaking of that, we welcome in the man who came up with the concept of the Road to the Florida Derby Challenge. It is Mike Nyman, the Director of Marketing at Gulfstream. Mike, welcome, my friend. Happy to have you on board.
Thanks. Glad to be with you, Mike.
Yeah. Boy, that contest has really heated up. The leaderboard is filling up quickly, and it's going to be a shootout to the finish.
Yeah, I checked it out the other day. It looks very competitive, and looks like you got a lot of players that are in contention for the prize.
Yeah, it's going to be a lot of fun, and it's going to be a lot of fun Saturday afternoon at Gulfstream Park, too, with Starters Stakes Day. And looking at the past performances here, Mike, and the whole card for Saturday, you're looking at 12 races, 11 of those stakes races, and what, almost $700,000 in purse money being offered?
Yeah, it's a very interesting card. It's all starter allowances. Every race is $50,000. You got 12 races on the card, so $600,000 in purses, and it's very, very. I just started looking at it this morning. It's very, very competitive races. Looks like a really good card for players and for those sharp handicappers out there.
Yeah, and with the full fields, it's something that should lead to great handle, and that's kind of been the pattern for the championship meet. And I can imagine, from your perspective, Mike, as the marketing man, this is kind of a marketer's dream to be able to promote these big Saturdays during the championship meet.
Yeah, there's no doubt about it. And like I mentioned before on the show, the racing office has done an amazing job here. They have a great pool of horses down here in South Florida to put together these great cards. And again, another great Saturday card tomorrow. Just, you know, and they're big Saturdays, and they're all so different in what, you know, what they're putting out. And it's just great. For the game, great for Gulfstream, and I'm glad to be part of it. And yes, you're 100% right. As a marketer, they make it very easy for me by putting out a good quality product.
Yeah, it's not hard to sell, no doubt about it. And you've done it very, very well over the past several weeks and past several years. I also noticed there's going to be a big guarantee in the Rainbow Six. What, $1.25 million?
Yes, that's what it'll be tomorrow if it's not won today. Today, it's the carryover is over $750,000, so you'll see a pool of over $1 million. So if somebody was fortunate enough to win today and take it down for the 20 cents, they'll be looking at over $1 million. If not tomorrow, the guarantee will be $1,250,000.
Yeah, and of course, recording this interview on Friday morning, so if it is not hit on Friday, you're listening to the show on Saturday, then you'll have that opportunity at the $1.25 million guarantee pool into that Rainbow Six wager. And Mike, that's, you know, look, let's talk about that wager for a minute, because that's a wager that has gathered momentum each and every year. And it's just proven to be a wildly successful thing for Gulfstream Park.
Yeah, it's been amazing. It's just gotten more, it's just gotten bigger and grown every year. And if you really think about it, we just paid out. You know, the last mandatory day was the day after Pegasus on January 28th. So, you know, we're only talking, 3 weeks later, and it's already built up to, where the pot's going to be over $1 million today. So it's just been a very popular bet with all the fans. And, you know, like I've always said, you know, it creates a level playing field for everybody. And, you know, we've seen people win millions of dollars with very small tickets. So it's really been, a very popular bet, and it's worked out well here.
You know, as exciting as the meet has been thus far, with races like the Pegasus World Cup and the Holy Bull Stakes and the Gulfstream Park Turf Handicap, all those major races that we've already seen, looking ahead to the next couple of months, Mike, it doesn't slow down at all. As a matter of fact, it kind of builds to a crescendo with that Florida Derby on March 31st. But touch on some of the other highlights that people can look forward to at Gulfstream Park.
Well, naturally, for the big race days, we have the Fountain of Youth, which is, you know, the second leg of our little Triple Crown that kicked off with the Holy Bull, and then everybody will be pointed to the Florida Derby, which is on Saturday, March 31st, and then closing day of the championship meet is April 1st, but of course, then we pick it right up 3 days later, the first Wednesday in April, and we start our spring-summer meet. We also have a lot of cool things going on here, you know, the next few weeks. Tomorrow we have our very popular Girls Got Game handicapping contest, where this will be the largest turnout we've ever had. It's going to be over 150 women who are playing in the contest. It's a great day. If anybody is around in South Florida and can be here, today, for $50 you get to play, and I think it's $60 actually to sign up the day of the contest, so you're able to play in the contest. It includes lunch, there's a fashion show by Neiman Marcus, we're giving away some great prizes, and it's a very easy contest, so not to be intimidated. It's as part of your $50 you get $28 bankroll, which includes where you play seven races, a $2 win in place on one horse. So it's an easy format to follow. It's not complicated, especially for the beginners and those who are just kind of getting familiar with the game. But like I said, it's become a very popular event. We do this every 6 months, and it's just been growing like crazy. So we're glad to be part of it, and it's a great day for the ladies here.
Were you able to talk your mom into playing in the Girls Got Game contest?
My mom's not playing, but my wife is playing, and she's actually brought about 18 or 20 people with her. She loves it. She comes every time, and she loves racing. Actually, my wife grew up with it in South Jersey, going with her grandparents to Monmouth back in the 60s and 70s. So she enjoys racing and going to the track, and she could do a little handicapping as well.
Yeah, other than the fact that you're both Florida Gators, that's a match made in heaven.
Yeah, no doubt about it. Absolutely.
Of course, broadcasting just a few miles from the University of Kentucky here. But, it, you know, right now it looks like the Gators kind of have the upper hand on the Cats, don't they?
Yeah, but you know what? The Gators is having really an up-and-down year. You know, we got beat at home by Georgia the other night when we had a lead, you know, a pretty good lead late in the game and couldn't hold it and allowed them to make a couple of three-pointers in the last 30 seconds. And they've kind of that's kind of been their MO. They're missing their center who went out last year, John Igbunu, and that's been a real loss for them. We thought he would be back by now, but he's not. So without him, he really kind of completes the team, and we just don't have the seems like the force inside that you really need. And he's a big shot blocker and rebounder, so obviously he's missed. We have a really good shooting team, no doubt about that. But I'm not sure how deep we can go into the tournament. I'm sure we'll be in the tournament, but kind of see how it plays out. It's one of those wild years in college basketball. Seems like as soon as a team gets to number one, they seem to get beat, and seems to be one of the most wide-open years I've ever seen. So who really knows what's going to happen?
Talking with Gulfstream's Director of Marketing and College Basketball Analyst Mike Nyman here on the Horse Racing Radio Network. Mike, I thought you were good when you started talking about handicapping these races, but that was brilliant, my friend.
Oh, thank you very much.
That was pretty good. Dickie V, better watch out. He's got some competition down there in Florida with our good friend Mike Nyman here on HRRN. Mike, the thing I'm looking forward to, I know you talk about the Fountain of Youth and the Florida Derby and the handicapping contests and all of those things, but when we make it back down for Florida Derby, you and I have talked about, people know I'm a big fan of steak, and you talked about taking me to a place right next to Gulfstream there with all the restaurants, so I'm excited for that experience.
Yes, I'm sure that's maybe something you don't see up in your neck in the woods, but very popular here, and if you're a guy that likes to eat and you love protein and meats, you're going to get plenty. I just suggest you skip breakfast and lunch that day.
Yeah, what's it? Texas Day Brazil? Is that the name of it?
It's Texas Day Brazil.
Yeah. Okay. And all you can eat steak, right?
It's all you can eat beef. You have all kinds of cuts of beef and have a huge salad bar. It's very popular down here. They have a few of them around town, and they do a nice business here on our property.
Yeah, all right. I'm looking forward to that. And, of course, we will be back down there. Our Saturdays at Gulfstream coverage continues this afternoon, beginning 5 o'clock Eastern. We'll bring you coverage of Starter Stakes Day, and you'll hear Gulfstream's biggest races every single Saturday, exclusively here on the network. You can visit our website, horseracingradio.net, to see a complete Saturdays at Gulfstream schedule, SiriusXM channel information, and to listen worldwide. You can do that on our website, horseracingradio.net. Mike, before I let you go, we started this conversation with that clip of Always Dreaming winning the Florida Derby last year. We talked about the Road to the Florida Derby Challenge. But when you think about 15 horses winning both the Florida Derby and the Kentucky Derby, especially the last couple of years, too, where you had Always Dreaming and then Nyquist in 2016, why has that proven to be such a successful proving ground for Derby prospects?
Well, I mean, part of it, obviously, a lot of it has to do with the weather this time of season. You know, the three-year-olds turn over in January 1st, you know, where the premier meet. You know, obviously, the weather is more conducive, and I'm sure for a lot of trainers, especially with younger horses, prefer to be on a fast track and in a more moderate weather environment. So, you know, obviously a lot of it has to do with that. You know, we are the premier meet and everybody is down here now. So, you know, it's a good place to start. And then, of course, you know, you see some horses after they've maybe broken their maiden here, won, you know, an allowance race. They'll move on to some of the other, because a lot of these trainers, especially the top ones, will have several horses, you know, that they feel could compete for the Kentucky Derby. So, you know, they may not want to run them both in a Florida Derby, so they'll start looking, you know, to other races around the country. But I think it all really kind of starts here with the Florida Derby, and it's just proven out. And if you go back and look in the history, not only the number of winners of the Kentucky Derby, but number of horses that have won the Florida Derby and have won a Triple Crown race, maybe not the Derby, but the Preakness or the Belmont, and that number is is way in the dozens. So there's no doubt that Gulfstream is really the place to look at. And I think it's not only when the horses, you know, after the winter meet, you just look through the summer where horses go to Saratoga and Del Mar and other places, the Midwest, and you see them that they ran here in the winter and how well they'll do in stake races around the country. So this is definitely the place, probably the toughest place to run, you know, during these 3 months. The competition is obviously very fierce, but it's a good place to see where you really stand and, you know, how good of a horse you may or may not have.
He's Mike Nyman. He's the director of marketing at Gulfstream Park. When you attend the races there, make sure you stop by and say hello, and he'll be more than happy to show you around that outstanding facility. Mike, really do appreciate the visit. Looking forward to catching up next week, my friend.
Oh, super. Great hearing from you, Mike, and we'll see you when you get back down here.
All right, you got it. Mike Nyman. Like all of our guests who appear on the program, he is going to receive that gift from Embrace the Race, the apparel for the horse racing lifestyle. Wear what you love and embrace your passion by visiting embracetherace.com. All you can eat steak. Are you kidding me? As the Big A would say, forget about it. Absolutely, I'm in for that. Can't be a Friday, though. It's Lent. Can't be a Friday. People that know me will know how much of a sacrifice this was. I don't often give something up for Lent anymore. I typically try to do something during Lent each week instead of doing that. But this year, I decided to go back to giving something up. Decided to sacrifice York peppermint patties. And people who know me know how big of a sacrifice that is. I'm addicted to York peppermint patties, usually have a couple every day, at least one after lunch and one after dinner. So I'm going to have to find something else for dessert after that big steak dinner with Mike Nyman. But we'll rough it. We'll come up with something, I'm sure. Going to get to a break, come back and update you on our poll question here this morning, and we'll hear from a brand new member of our HRN family. Stay with us. This is the Equine Forum on the Horse Racing Radio Network, your home for the Kentucky Derby and the Triple Crown.
Lexus. Once driven, there's no going back. Through inspired design, relentless innovation, and uninhibited performance, Lexus continues their pursuit to perfection with not only precisely engineered automobiles, but powerful, profound, and passionate experiences that move you like never before. Hey everyone, Mike Penna here, and extremely proud to say that I am a Lexus owner, or better yet, a member of the Lexus family at the Lexus store of Lexington. I've told you for more than a decade that the people make the difference at the Lexus store, and that is why I am so proud to be their customer and a member of their family. If you're in the horse business, there's no reason to look anywhere else. As the sponsor of the Grade 2 Lexus Raven Run at Keeneland every fall, the team at the Lexus store of Lexington is committed to supporting the horse industry and to being the dealership of the equine industry here in Central Kentucky. See for yourself. Stop in and talk horse racing with the godfather, Tony Attiano, and all the great folks at the Lexus store of Lexington. And I promise you will love your Lexus experience.
Eclipse Award winner Blame retired to stud with more than $4.3 million in earnings, including a historic victory over Zenyatta in the Breeders' Cup Classic. Now he's making a name for himself as an internationally successful stallion. In 2017, his top runners include stakes winner No Fault of Mine, Japanese star Resonator, and classic winner Singa, the dominant victor of this year's Grade 1 French Oaks, Blame at Claiborne Farm.
Gulfstream's championship meet is in full stride. With a record 94 stakes races worth $28.6 million in purses, including the Fountain of Youth on Saturday, March 3rd, and the ExpressBet.com Florida Derby on March 31st. Take your shot at a life-changing score by playing the Rainbow Six. And every Saturday, be sure to bring the whole family out to enjoy breakfast at Gulfstream from 8 to 10:30. For more information, visit GulfstreamPark.com or download the Gulfstream Park app on your mobile device.
Trainer Talk, the biggest names in horse racing.
Mark Cassie, our special guest on Trainer Talk, presented by Fasig Tipton.
I wasn't that nervous for the Breeders' Cup. I felt like getting there was quite an accomplishment. I knew she was ready, she was going to be, and no matter what happened, you know, I was just happy to be there. I find it, though, the more they accomplish, the more you don't want to let them down. I mean, I admire Bob Baffert about as much as anybody because of what he's done. It's one thing, like with American Pharoah, the pressure of getting through the Triple Crown. But after having the Triple Crown winner and being able to accomplish what was done after the Triple Crown, whew, Now that takes some nerve.
Trainer Talk, presented by Phasig Tipton. Wednesdays, 6 to 7 p.m. Eastern on Sirius 219 and XM 206. And always streaming live at horseracingradio.net.
Hi, this is Jockey John Court. You're listening to the Horse Racing Radio Network.
This is the Equine Forum on the Horse Racing Radio Network.
As they turn for home, Candy My Boy at the quarter pole. Here comes Gunrunner, who descends now on Candy My Boy. Forever Mo is next. Then to the inside, Mo Tom had a check sharply. And back to the fading Bistrea. Final furlong, Gunrunner just leads. Candy My Boy toward the inside. Then Forever Mo. And Mo Tom is fourth. Tom's ready, well back. It's Gunrunner. Gunrunner, here's Forever Mo. Gunrunner, another today for Florent Giroux. Gunrunner holds Forever Mo and the Risen Star. Mo Tom was third, and Candy My Boy finished fourth.
John G. Dooley with the call of the Risen Star Stakes and Gunrunner's victory just a couple of years ago, 2016. And could we ever imagine at that point that Gunrunner would go on to become the Gunrunner that we've all come to know and the horse that would dominate races like the Breeders' Cup Classic and the Pegasus World Cup? Well, who knows? Is there another Gunrunner in this year's field? We'll have to wait and find out, but it's certainly a promising group going to the post later this afternoon at the fairgrounds. Welcome back to the Equine Forum. Mike Penna flying solo this morning, the pontiff of the Pick Four, going to be back with me next week. He's enjoying a little R&R, and he'll be freshened up as we get set for our trip to Barbados coming up in just a couple of weeks. We'll be there on Saturday, March 3rd, to bring you exclusive coverage of the Barbados Gold Cup. That coverage in partnership with our friends who are going to be, our colleagues who are going to be at Gulfstream Park for the Fountain of Youth Stakes. So you'll hear the Fountain of Youth, you'll hear the Barbados Gold Cup. It's a big show, begins 3 o'clock Eastern, Saturday, March 3rd. Make sure you're locked in here on the Horse Racing Radio Network, and that race from Barbados is one you won't want to miss. The pageantry, the parade beforehand, it's really a special event. Ken Ramsey sending down a couple of good ones, too. Shining Copper and Sir Dudley Diggs, both going for Ken. You know, Ken won the race 2 years in a row and then was defeated by Dorset each of the last 2 years. I don't think he likes losing that race. I think he's had enough of that. These two horses he's bringing down this year, maybe among the best ever to race in Barbados. He's got a heck of a shot. Dorset, the defending champion, two-time defending champion, going to be back in there as well. Again, that's all Saturday, March 3rd, right here exclusively on the Horse Racing Radio Network. You can go to our website and check out that schedule and all of that SiriusXM information. And yeah, you can listen worldwide too, anywhere in the world, horseracingradio.net. Don't forget that once again, Coolmore America's Munnings showed why he is one of the best value sires in America with a stakes double last weekend. His four-time greatest stakes winning son, Ohm, took his earnings over $1 million with victory in the Grade 3 Thunder Road Stakes at Santa Anita. And also on the same day, Chief Cicatriz extended his record to 7 wins from 9 starts in the Phoenix Gold Cup for owner breeder Roy Evans. Munnings is a proven sire of racehorses and stands at Coolmore America's Ashford Stud for a fee of just $25,000 in 2018. Yeah, value priced at Coolmore is Munnings. So every once in a while, we have the opportunity, and I do get several new sponsors coming on the program from time to time. And we have the opportunity this week to welcome a new member of our HRN family that is going to be with us over the course of the next year. And that is our friends at Four Roses Bourbon. And each month we're going to bring you a special interview segment telling you all about the bourbon, all about the way it's made and it's created, and tell you all about the history too. And this is the first of 12 installments that you're going to hear. So it is time for the first monthly visit with the folks at Four Roses Bourbon, and they're located, of course, right here in the heart of the bluegrass in Lawrenceburg, Kentucky. Since 1888, Four Roses Bourbon has been made with the same passion and handcrafted as only they can. And this interview, much like that great bourbon, handcrafted by Four Roses. And a privilege now to welcome Al Young, who is the senior brand ambassador at Four Roses. He joins me here on the Horse Racing Radio Network. Al, a very special year for Four Roses here in 2018.
Yes, it is, Mike. We're in our 130th anniversary of the brand. We've got a lot of celebrations planned at our distillery in Lawrenceburg, Kentucky, and other places throughout the state.
Yeah, it's going to be a special event. Take me back through the history of Four Roses and how the brand came about.
Well, you know, it's been a colorful history that's outlasted just about everything, including National Prohibition. It started in 1888 by a guy by the name of Paul Jones Jr., who did the brand as a result of falling in love with the Southern Belle. And as the story goes, he sent her a proposal, and she said if she accepted, she would wear a corsage of four red roses on her dress the night of the ball. So you can imagine he showed up in great anticipation, and there she was in her black dress, corsage of four red roses. And we think he transferred the passion he had for the Belle to his making of bourbon, and he trademarked the name Four Roses.
Wow, and there's a early tie to horse racing there too, isn't there?
Yes, there is. You know, he and his brother, Saunders Jones, they were big horsemen in Louisville, Kentucky. In fact, they were well known for driving fast through the cities of Louisville and very instrumental in the jockey club. In fact, Paul Jones Jr. would have been the head of the jockey club had he not passed away in 1894.
So when we talk about 130 years of Four Roses bourbon, put it in perspective for me. What are we talking about here, Al?
Well, we're talking about a brand that was sold during Prohibition for medicinal purposes only, and there were a lot of sick people in the United States at that time. It went right on through several ownerships. It was owned by the Paul Jones Company, Seagram's. Now it's owned by the Kirin Brewery. And we've weathered just about everything you can think of, sold as export for about 60 years and out of the country while it was being sold as a blended whiskey in the United States. But now we're back better than ever. And 50 years later or 60 years later, we are sold as a full bourbon whiskey in all 50 states.
As a brand ambassador, when you go and talk to people about Four Roses, what are some of the most important things you want them to know?
Well, one of the most important things that I want them to know is that it's all handcrafted as only we can. And so with that in mind, it's kind of fun to go through and talk to them about the process and the grains and the water. Because, you see, we sit on a limestone shelf over in Lawrenceburg that allows us to have iron-free water. And that's one of the great characteristics of naturally handcrafting bourbon.
Yeah, how critical is that?
It's really critical from the standpoint that if your water isn't pure and it has any iron in it, it'll turn the whiskey dark in color before you even age it.
Oh, unbelievable. Al Young, our special guest here, talking about Four Roses bourbon. And you just heard us mention that this is the 130-year anniversary. And Al, you started by touching on some of the events that are going to take place to celebrate that anniversary. What are those this year?
Well, we're probably going to have some stuff going on at the distillery that's, you know, sort of like a birthday celebration, if you will. But we also have participation in such things as the Derby Festival for about 12 years with the Steamboat Race, Thunder Over Louisville we've been a participant in, Kroger Festaville. These are things where we'll certainly blow out the idea about the 130th anniversary. And in years past, we've done the Bourbon Backstretch with the Breeders' Cup in 2015. EquestriCon at the Saratoga in 2017.
Sure.
And we'll be participating in EquestriCon again this year. And then we previously sponsored the Grand Circuit at the Red Mile in 2016 and 17. So there's a lot of emphasis on horse racing and our involvement in it at this time. But we're also going to be having other events that people that are interested in horse racing can visit, and they'll have to look at our website. Four Roses.
FourRosesBourbon.com is where you can go and learn more about how they will celebrate their 130-year anniversary here in 2018. Al, congratulations on all the success, my friend.
Well, thank you very much.
Yeah, Four Roses Bourbon, no doubt. The way to go if you're looking for a nice cocktail one evening, highly recommended. We're going to get to one final break, and we will come back and wrap up this edition of the Equine Forum and tell you what's ahead on the Horse Racing Radio Network. This is the Equine Forum on HRN.
Castleton Lions is home to blue blood sprinter Justin Philip and multiple Eclipse champion Gio Ponti. Justin Philip was North America's number one ranked second crop sire by earnings in January of 2018. Represented this year by exciting stakes place three-year-olds Upset Brewing and Blushing Justine, along with Riano Tesoro. Now 3-for-4 lifetime after taking the 36 million yen Crocus Stakes at Tokyo Racecourse on January 27th. Justin Philip is also the sire of What a Catch, winner of last year's Rockville Center Stakes at 2. Seven-time Grade 1 winner Gio Ponti continues to prove his offspring can run on any surface at any distance. The sire of Eclipse champion and Breeders' Cup sprint winner Dre Fong
has won.
Canadian Classic hero Sir Dudley Diggs
has won the Queen's Plate.
And marathon specialist Runtime.
But Runtime, motors on the outside.
Justin Philip and Gio Ponti standing at Castleton Lions. Visit CastletonLions.com.
Jimmy John's World's Greatest Gourmet Sandwich is Ed speaking.
Yes, I need a sandwich delivery right away.
What kind of sandwich?
I don't care. Just get it to 215 Elm Street right now.
I'm on my way!
Jimmy John's.
Thanks for getting here so fast.
You're welcome, sir. Here's your sandwich. By the way, did you know your house is on fire?
That's why I called Jimmy John's.
Fire makes you hungry?
No, I knew you'd get here fast. Grab a bucket.
We're going to need more than two guys, sir.
You're right. What'll we do?
Leave it to me, sir.
Hello?
Hello, boss. Send everyone you got to 215 Elm.
Okay.
Doesn't matter what kind of sandwich, sir. I'll explain later.
Right.
Thank you, sir.
Jimmy John's. Come in.
Sir, did you know your house is on fire?
Yes, I did. Grab a bucket.
Jimmy John's.
Come in.
Sir, did you know your house is on fire?
Yes, I did. Grab a bucket.
Jimmy John's.
Come in.
Sir, did you know...
Yes, I did. Grab a bucket.
Jimmy John's.
Come in.
Sir, did you...
Yes, I did. Grab a bucket.
Fire department.
Come in.
Sir, did you know your...
It's okay, Captain. We got it handled. Care for a sandwich?
Thanks, but tell me something.
Shoot.
Why didn't you call the fire department first?
I did.
Jimmy John's. Exceptional delivery. Order online at jimmyjohns.com.
Power. And Tapazar, a sterling performance today. Tapazar and Corey Nakatani take the dirt mile.
Passion.
And it's American Pastime in a very, very impressive effort today.
Performance.
But they're way far behind Monomoy Girl. Sharp in victory was she by 5 under the wire.
Gainsway stallion Tapazar is Tappet's leading miler. Displaying brilliant speed throughout his racing career, breaking his maiden by 10.5 lengths as a 2-year-old, wiring the Grade 3 Sham Stakes by 4.25 lengths at 3, and running away with the Grade 1 Breeders' Cup Dirt Mile by 2.25 lengths at 4. A top 10 third crop sire, Tapazar has stamped his early progeny with the same quality and speed. From the family of Tappet's champion filly Untappable and the sire of 50 winners, 2 stakes winners, 2 graded stakes horses, and more than $3 million in progeny earnings. Tapazar, standing at Gainsway.
Power, passion, performance. You know I'm talking about Gainsway Farm.
This is Jockey Rajiv Maharaj, and I love the Horse Racing Radio Network, the best show on the planet.
Our poll question we asked you today was, well, pretty simple, but I think we're going to have a lot of different answers to it. You can weigh in at HRN on Twitter, Horse Racing Radio Network on Facebook, and it goes like this. We posted a picture of the closing odds for the second Kentucky Derby future wager pool, and along with that picture is our question. The question is, who is your Kentucky Derby value play? Obviously not the field, because the field is the favorite at the close of the second wagering session, the second future book session with Churchill Downs. But who is your value play? And I think we ended up with several different answers, and rightfully so. I think at this point, there hasn't been that three-year-old, here in 2018 anyway, that has really established themselves and said, I'm the one to beat. Audible was super impressive in winning the Holy Bull. Super impressive. That was his two-turn debut. Can Audible continue to move forward? Goes next in the Florida Derby. He was good. He was really good. Good Magic, we're waiting for him to come back. He might be the one, based on what he did as a two-year-old. But as you know, from 2 to 3, how do these horses develop? How do they improve? Will he be the same? Will he be head and shoulders above everybody else as he was as a two-year-old? Will he still be head and shoulders above everybody else as everyone begins to develop and catch up? Big questions. You got the Risen Star today at the fairgrounds. You have the El Camino Real at Golden Gate. Also going to see that big race in Japan, the Hyacinth, tomorrow. 30 points to the winner in that one. And then the Southwest Stakes at Oaklawn on Monday. Been a busy couple of hours. Our thanks to special guest Jeff Bloom from Bloom Racing, Eric Hamelback of the National HBPA, Jeff Lifson of West Point Thoroughbreds, and Mike Nyman from Gulfstream Park. Appreciate them being here on the program here today. Don't forget, we're back 5 o'clock Eastern with coverage of Saturdays at Gulfstream. You can tune in on SiriusXM and on our website at horseracingradio.net. Head over to our site to check out that channel information for SiriusXM. A little different than what you're listening to right now. Been a fun couple of hours. Happy to have you with me. For our producer, Lee Della Pina, for Chauncey, Sean C., handling all of our social media, I'm Mike Penna. We'll talk to you next week here on HRRN. Yeah, go Steelers.